Continental and American report first quarter losses. Senators hammer Bobby Sturgill for all those grounded flights. And Sturgill skips a NIMBY town meeting in Connecticut. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Friday, April 18th, 2008. If you've ever wondered how in the world the major airlines can sell their tickets so cheap and still turn a profit, well, it turns out they can't. On Thursday, both Continental and American announced big first quarter losses and plans to stem the red ink by scaling back capacity and grounding their least efficient aircraft. The Dallas Morning News reports American posted a $328 million loss for the first quarter. That's its worst first quarter since 2003. In last year's first quarter, American registered an $81 million profit. The airline says it will cut capacity 1.4% for the year, mostly on domestic routes, in favor of more profitable international flights. It's only 2 months ago that American said it planned to increase capacity 0.2%, another sign that fuel cost increases have caught the airlines off guard. Continental reported a first quarter net loss of $80 million, which would have been $85 million if the airline hadn't made $5 million on the sale of aircraft. American says it will ground some of its relatively thirsty MD-80s, return three Airbus A300 widebodies to lessors, and buy new Boeing 737s. Tom Horton, AMR's chief financial officer, says, quote, "Given that the 737-800 is about 25% more fuel efficient than the MD-80, and in light of high fuel prices, it makes sense to accelerate the replacement of our MD-80s," unquote. Continental plans to retire 14 older Boeing 737-300s as leases expire between September and next April. That's 14 more than the 34 737-300s and 500s that were already planned to be removed from service. Continental also expects to reduce regional jet capacity beginning this fall, but notes its plans are fluid. Continental is working to negotiate better contracts with ExpressJet, and CRJs flown for Continental by Chautauqua Airlines are due to come off lease. Continental CEO Larry Kellner issued a thank you to employees. Quote, "Thanks to the continued hard work and dedication of my coworkers, we ran a solid operation despite extremely challenging times. In this rapidly changing competitive environment, we will stay focused on running a clean, safe, and reliable airline with the best customer service in the industry," unquote. If you're a congressman, senator, or union boss planning to fight industry consolidation, good luck. Last week, industry analysts suggested an FAA crackdown that resulted in thousands of canceled flights and hundreds of thousands of stranded passengers had more to do with FAA face-saving than legitimate safety concerns. Yesterday, acting FAA Administrator Robert Sturgill was forced to answer similar questions from the Senate Subcommittee on Transportation, Housing, and Urban Development. The Seattle Times reports that Washington State Democrat Senator Patty Murray, who chairs the subcommittee, lectured Sturgill, quote, "We need an FAA that actually fixes problems as they are found, rather than one that rushes into a public relations campaign to assure everyone that there isn't a problem," unquote. She later commented, quote, "When I first heard of his plan, I questioned why the agency needed to double-check its work. The taxpayers and this subcommittee paid for full compliance the first time," unquote. The FAA says it now has a new reporting system in which inspectors will be freer to voice concerns and says it will strengthen ethics policies to avoid conflicts of interest. Given his priorities in Washington, you might forgive Bobby Sturgill for blowing off a town meeting called by furious Connecticut residents planning to sue the FAA over its new Northeast airspace plan. But the citizens of those communities were not as charitable. Sturgill was invited to be a guest at Monday night's meeting in Greenwich, Connecticut. It was in no way an FAA public hearing. Still, the Greenwich Post reports the perceived snub further inflamed area lawmakers representing the region around Fairfield County, which would see increased flyovers by airliners under the new airspace plan. The protesters come from a dozen towns in Connecticut and upstate New York and call themselves the Alliance for Sensible Airspace Planning. Inviting Sturgill to Monday's meeting appears to have been a ploy. The FAA announced last September the 120 public hearings it had already held on the issue were as far as it could go to accommodate the NIMBYs. The FAA scheduled the airspace changes to take effect in January of 2009. FAA's Nancy Kalinowski told the group last year that it would be inappropriate for agency officials to attend any alliance meetings until lawsuits filed by the alliance and the state of Connecticut are settled. USA Today is reporting that more bodies were found Thursday beneath an airliner that crashed Tuesday into a residential neighborhood in eastern Congo. The official death toll in the town of Goma now stands at 44, with 146 known injured. National Assembly President Vital Kamerhe led a government visit to the crash site. He told reporters afterward more bodies will be recovered, quote, especially those of brickmakers who were at a building site that is now totally buried under the plane, unquote. In a discrepancy which has yet to be sorted out, Hiwabora, the Congolese company that operated the plane, said all 79 passengers and 6 crew members survived, but Congolese officials say at least 2 passengers have died. Both black boxes have been recovered for analysis from the wreckage of the DC-9. International aviation regulators, including those in the European Union who've banned Hiwabora from operating there, blame deep corruption and slipshod maintenance for the Congo's dubious distinction of leading the African continent in airline crashes since 1945. Up next on ANN, Landsberg to Rossanker. We're already on it. 6 contrabandistas pull off a brazen plane theft in Baja, and thousands of warbirds spend their final days in the sun. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for April 18th, 2008. On the web, you can find us at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. The National Transportation Safety Board Wednesday released final aviation accident figures for 2007, including welcome news that the year witnessed the fewest general aviation fatalities in 40 years. Board Chairman Mark Rossanker warned pilots not to become complacent. AOPA Air Safety Foundation Executive Director Bruce Landsberg responded, quote, that has been our position all along, and it's why we intend to roll out more than a dozen new online safety training products in 2008, on top of the 21 we already offer online, unquote. The foundation offers interactive online safety courses on topics including weather, GPS, and airspace. Online course completions exceed 20,000 each month. ASF also sponsors more than 200 live seminars across the country each year, reaching more than 40,000 pilots. The AOPA Air Safety Foundation imports NTSB information into its own database of accidents involving aircraft weighing 12,500 pounds or less. Then it mines that data to identify trends it can address through live or online courses. Investigators in Baja California Sur say they've sent an advisory to airports and landing strips across Mexico as they look for a small plane stolen at gunpoint from a U.S. tourist preparing to take off from Mulegé. The San Diego Tribune reports the 6-seat Cessna Stationaire was taken about 8 a.m. Monday at an airstrip outside the Serenidad Hotel. The owner is a 55-year-old businessman from Boise who told friends a car pulled up in front of his plane as he prepared for takeoff. According to the government alert, 6 assailants broke a window and forced the pilot, his wife, 2 daughters ages 6 and 8, and a family friend off the plane. The now ironically named Serenidad Hotel has been a favorite destination for U.S. pilots. The Aviation Crime Prevention Institute notes increased aircraft seizures by Mexican authorities of planes used to smuggle drugs and has warned flyers in the region that the bad guys will be looking for replacement aircraft. The Stationaire was insured by AIG, which is offering a $5,000 reward for its return. If you've ever wondered what would eventually become of the more than 4,000 old aircraft hulls sitting in the U.S. military's boneyard at Davis-Monthan Air Force Base in Tucson, Arizona, we now know. They'll start going on the auction block next week, but don't expect to take home anything resembling an aircraft. Reuters reports the Pentagon will require winning bidders to cut the scrap into pieces no larger than 4x4 inches to make sure none of the old warbirds or their parts ever return to service. The 3-day online auction of 27 million pounds of scrap is expected to bring in $9 to $10 million, or about 36 cents a pound. Government Liquidation, a subsidiary of Liquidity Services Incorporated, has been chosen to conduct the sale. Rising worldwide demand, especially in developing nations, has driven metal prices through the roof. Copper, for example, was 60 cents a pound 4 years ago. Now, it's $4. Many communities around the U.S. are seeing frequent news reports of drug addicts staging bold thefts of everything from guardrails to rooftop air conditioners to sell for scrap metal to fund their habits. Still, the old ghosts in the desert evoke emotions no guardrail can. The 50-plus-year collection includes C-141 Starlifters, Navy and Marine A-4 Skyhawks, T-34 trainers dating from 1948, and HH-3E Jolly Green Giant helicopters. They've been picked clean of most useful parts long ago, of course, but if you're a former military aviator or even just an aircraft buff, it's still tough to see them headed for the smelter. The auction will be open to qualified bidders only and runs from 12:01 a.m. Eastern Time on Monday through 8 p.m. on Thursday. Be sure and bring your Sawzall. The National Transportation Safety Board is out with its preliminary report on a collision between a Grumman Goose amphibian carrying a pilot and 8 passengers into Unalaska Airport in Alaska and a semi that was crossing the runway threshold. This is one of the more unusual prelims we've read. The collision happened on April 9th. The commuter plane was on final for runway 30, and the pilot activated the runway lighting, which is also supposed to flash warning lights on Ballyhoo Road, which crosses the threshold, and close gates to stop traffic. At the same time, a trucker hauling a 45-foot trailer saw the flashing lights and stopped to look. He didn't see the plane approaching, and he told investigators that in his 4 months on the job, the gates had never worked. He said the lights frequently got stuck in false alarm mode and held up traffic for long periods when no aircraft were approaching. So, he pulled out to cross the runway. By the time the pilot saw him, he already had the gear and flaps down. He tried to pull up hard, but hit the trailer with the rear belly and tail of the plane. The pilot says he lost elevator control, and the goose hit the runway nose down and slid several hundred feet. The pilot and 7 of his passengers escaped with minor injuries, but one passenger suffered serious injuries. The NTSB says that in a telephone conversation the following day, a safety representative from Alaska DOT reported that the gates had been out of service for more than a year due to budgetary constraints. The NTSB should be out with its final probable cause report in about a year. Although, I'm guessing we've probably spoiled the ending. Still ahead, HondaJet will locate its Northeast Service Center at Albany. Hawker Beechcraft gets to build more T-6As. And X-Corps welcomes Armadillo to the races. You're listening to Aero News.
Welcome to Cirrus Design. Maker of the world's best-selling personal aircraft, the sleek SR-22. Cirrus planes feature the latest technologies and are equipped with an exclusive, life-saving parachute system. It is our mission to make personal aviation safe, affordable, and convenient. At Cirrus, we offer a test drive like no one else in the business.
Shoot happens. Come on, you know it does. Even the world's top test pilots know there are in-flight situations you can't always recover from. Mid-air collision, control failure, pilot incapacitation. In severe emergencies, do what the world's top test pilots do. Use a parachute. Except, instead of having to bail out of a moving aircraft, you can have the safety of a BRS full airframe recovery parachute. BRS has parachutes for an enormous variety of aircraft, from experimental to light sport, and all the way to retrofits on certified airplanes. Shoot happens. Will you be ready when it does? Call BRS today at 651-457-8651 or visit us online at brsparachutes.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Friday, April 18th, 2008. I'm Paul Plank. HondaJet East, a sales and service representative for Honda Aircraft Company, Incorporated, announced on Thursday the Albany International Airport in upstate New York will be the home for the HondaJet sales and service facility servicing the northeastern U.S. Construction is expected to be complete by 2010, in time for first deliveries of the HondaJet. Paul Mack Langston, the chairman and CEO of HondaJet East, said picking a location was difficult, but, quote, ultimately, Albany and the state of New York provide an ideal balance of culture, future vision, proximity to the major northeastern markets, and technical fit for the site. We're looking forward to playing a productive, responsible, and complementary role within the New York Tech Valley, unquote. The Albany location will be one of 5 in the U.S. featuring a large hangar for service operations. Hawker Beechcraft said yesterday the company has won 2 follow-on contracts for an additional 137 T-6A Texan II military trainer aircraft for the U.S. Air Force. That contract extension is worth $550 million and continues the U.S. Air Force and U.S. Navy's Joint Primary Aircraft Training System program, or JPATS. The agreement includes program and manufacturing management, program support, field service representatives, diminishing material shortage management, field maintenance training, and aircrew training devices. The T-6A Texan II is used in an Air Force training program that includes over 155 hours of flight and weapons delivery training per pilot. Overall, JPATS calls for the delivery of 768 aircraft and 105 aircrew training devices into early 2016 and logistics support beyond 2050. The U.S. Air Force and U.S. Navy have ordered 571 aircraft and 104 aircrew training devices to date, with a production contract value of more than $3.3 billion. You know, part of the fun of NASCAR is watching the rivalry among the manufacturers and rooting for the maker of the engine that you drive on the street every day. Or at least it used to be, before all NASCAR passenger cars wound up using truck drivetrains not actually available in the cars, equipped with obsolete carburation 25 years behind the technology sitting in your garage. But, excuse me, I digress. The fledgling Rocket Racing League has openly announced it will pattern itself after NASCAR. True to that vision, the league now has two competing engine suppliers. At a press conference on Wednesday, X-Core Aerospace welcomed Armadillo Aerospace as a competing rocket propulsion supplier to the league. X-Core CEO Jeff Grayson was all about sportsmanship. Quote, "We have always respected the work done by Armadillo Aerospace and welcome their participation in this league. It's a sign of the increasing strength and maturity of the entrepreneurial space industry that companies needing rocket propulsion technology have multiple suppliers to choose from," unquote. Both power plants will be installed in rocket racers based on the Velocity Canard Pusher. The X-Core engine uses a pump to supply kerosene and liquid oxygen for combustion. The Armadillo engine is pressure-fed and uses alcohol and liquid oxygen. So, will the sportsmanship continue? Or will the start of actual competition trigger episodes of a NASCAR-like soap opera between pilots? Will the Armadillo be as fun to watch as X-Core's 50-foot orange flame? Will a controversy erupt when the league requires restrictor plates at Las Cruces? And most important, will we one day see a rocket-powered Velocity with Zoom Campbell written under the canopy and an enormous Tide logo across the nose? Stay tuned! And finally, I know, that last story should have been the kicker. But finally, NASA is rushing to discredit the findings of 13-year-old German student Nico Marquardt, who says the chances of the asteroid Apophis striking the Earth in the year 2036 are 1 in 450. NASA is sticking by its prediction number, 1 in 45,000. The story exploded on the internet after the German newspaper Potsdamer Neuester Nachrichten reported on Tuesday on Marquardt's project for a regional science competition. Conspiracy buffs latched onto rumors that the boy had actually collaborated with NASA and that the agency was trying to cover up the end of the world. NASA's Wednesday press statement said in part, quote, "Contrary to recent press reports, NASA offices involved in near-Earth object research were not contacted and have had no correspondence with a young German student," unquote. The agency also says the German newspaper inaccurately reported that NASA told the European Space Agency Marquardt's figures were correct. NASA wants to assure all of us that a cover-up of something affecting our safety just could not happen. And that's the latest from Aero News. Hey, I'm stockpiling Insure in my basement just in case. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today you'll hear my conversation with EAA's Tom Poberesny from Lakeland. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our Aerocasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Enjoy your weekend and have a clear and unlimited day.